Rally to me, Escalonians! You'll never conquer Ascalon!
Hello and welcome to Hosts of Ascalon, a Guild Wars 2 podcast where two enthusiastic fangirls fangirl over Path of Fire with one surprisingly non-grumpy grumpy pants. I am Alona, and I am joined, as always, by Zad Hontar, who joins us all the way from the Desolation, and Hashtag, plain ol' Hashtag.
There's a lot of subtext going on here.
Yeah. Don't know how I feel about that.
Plain old.
First of all, you said I'm not grumpy. I'm pretty grumpy. And secondly, you mentioned Zad Hontar.
We'll get to
that, but plain old hashtag, that's because I spell hashtag with one A instead of two, but hashtag spells it with two A's.
You're reading far too much into this, by the way.
It was obviously a dig at me because I spell it with one A.
I didn't see it.
No,
as a,
it was
no,
not.
No.
You're reading way too much into this.
Why are you saying that hashtag is plain then?
Because I added a bunch for... So I looked and someone had put Zad Hontar in for your name. So I added who joins us all the way from the Desolation. And then I thought just saying and hashtag wasn't fair to hashtag, so I added some more for her.
It's kind of dicky. Plain old hashtag.
Because it was cute. Plain old hashtag.
All right.
Oh, buddy. So before we get started, oh, by the way, hi, guys. Before we get started, a quick reminder that you can get in touch with us with news, questions, or comments by emailing us at hostsofascalon@gmail.com or on Twitter at Hosts of Ascalon. And we're going to start things off with Chivos, where we discuss what we've been up to in Guild Wars 2. Hunter, would you like to start us off with that?
Sure. I played the expansion as soon as it was up, and I finished the story sometime Saturday, I think. And it has turned out to be one of the most satisfying DLC expansion packs, etc., that I've ever bought. So, well, that's what I would be saying.
See, surprisingly non-grumpy.
Well, let me finish. That's what I would be saying if I could have played it for more than four days.
Yeah,
but that's not their fault.
No, nope.
Right. Well, my mother flipping motherboard blew up the Tuesday following release. So yeah, I just got it back today. So that's like 8 days that I've been without Path of Fire. So I'm not sure.
You've been lurking in Discord, and we've been trying to keep your spirits up.
I've been whining like a little bitch.
Well, but you know, it's really, at least you got 4 days. At least it didn't like bust like the day before or the day of. Or
we've been extra nice.
Yeah. So moving on, there were a lot of crazy, cool, hidden things all over the place I wanted to explore and find and get it all done. And I think I spent like an hour working on this one heart, just exploring around the heart and forgetting to actually complete the stupid heart. And it was a lot of fun and stuff like that. And my week-long absence really got in the way of my exploration. And I did finish the super secret mount stuff before Ragnarok blew up. And Ragnarok,
which is
being the name of my PC. And but by now I would have had like all of my masteries done, and they aren't, so boo.
I thought we agreed that it was no longer a super secret mount.
I mean, it was.
It was at that point, yes. Okay.
All right. Is that your dog flapping?
Yep.
I've come to know the sound well.
Sorry, I did take her collar off so that she wouldn't dingle.
I don't think I ever heard a dingle. Anyway. I think I only zone completed one zone, Crystal Oasis, probably like on the weekend sometime. And so if you travel to the depths of the desolation, this is the big news. This is the headline. If you travel to the depths of the desolation and find yourself staring at an immense lay-infused crazed hydra, you will be then annihilated by my namesake, His Eminence, Zad Hontar.
Sad Hunter.
It's not sad, it's Zad. I'm not really sure what the Zad stands for. Maybe it's supposed to be that Hontar? Or do you guys think it's sad?
I have no idea.
But yeah, that's.
I heard that one Festy took down a sad Hontar today.
Did? Oh. Yeah, she was bragging about it in guild chat the moment I logged back into the game.
Was it Hontar?
Yep.
Mm. Yeah. So all hydras have three names going back to Guild Wars 1, so that's why I'm sure the Zad part was added. I don't know if it's random or not, but yeah. And finally, yeah, pretty short what I did this week due to the PC madness. I somehow obtained 25 Black Lion keys and opened them all and got the...
Oh!
Yeah, I got the Hydra staff, a Timekeeper staff,
ooh,
Mordrum Dagger, a skin unlock, one of the more recent ones, Beast Slayer Warhorn, a Marjorie Mini, from, like, one of the Dragon's Watch ones, and those last three things coming from guaranteed wardrobe unlocks, and tons of those green raptors that you're getting out of the...
Hey, that's like 32 gold there, so...
Yeah, you know, I actually good stuff. Worked on the achievement for it.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I did. And, yeah, that's pretty much... I mean, I got tons of the regular stuff, like the bank accesses and the Merchant Express and whatever. Yeah. And, like, at least one claim ticket.
Hmm.
So, that's what I did this week. Hashtag.
So, I felt like I did all the things...
You were
week.
A machine.
I was. I was determined to get stuff done. So I had a lot of fun in Crystal Desert racking up achievements. So last podcast, I ticked over 13,500, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And then I ticked over 13,000 because this week I ticked over 13,500. And did I? Yeah, I ticked over again. And then on top of that, I don't know. Anyway, a lot of achievements. That's my point. Lots of points to be had. I finished map completion for all five zones, finished all the masteries, and have made a significant dent in the zone achievements, which we will talk about in a little bit.
I have not map completed a single one yet.
How am I ahead of you? And I haven't been able to play for 8 days.
I've been... I have not map completed a single one of the five maps yet.
Yeah. So I immediately switched my Necro to Scourge when the expansion dropped, and I haven't looked back. So basically, I logged in. Hunter and Alona were playing for a couple of hours before I logged in. So I logged in and got right into the story and immediately popped in Discord and said, "I'm unlocking Scourge." And Alona said, "You might want to wait." And I said, "Too late." And immediately got murderized a couple times. And then I found my feet and I haven't looked back since. It was so much fun. I love, love, love Scourge, especially now that I have a decent build. Let's see. Griffin Collection, the super secret mount. Incredibly well done.
Oh,
We did
not do a spoiler alert thing at the beginning of the show. Yeah, we're going to be talking about spoilers. So, I don't think...
In the Twitch chat, I've named it Spoilers. Hosts of Ascalon, Episode 19, Spoilers. So...
All right. Good enough.
We should be okay?
Sure, yeah.
It's in the show title.
Sorry, hashtag. Go ahead.
So I finished the Griffin collection pretty quickly at the beginning of the first week. And I think I was able to finish it so quickly because there were a lot of people doing it. So the LFG was full of helpful groups. And I told Alona about this one group that I found that was really great. The squad leader put markers all over the map for the Elan Riverlands for all the various places you need to go, particularly because that one has some collections and things like that that you need to do that are a little tricky. So he put all the markers up and then he broadcasted instructions for how to do everything. And he had to leave. He had something come up in real life. So he just parked himself, but made sure that the broadcasts were up and everybody could keep going and do their own thing and do it on their own pace. So it was really, really helpful and pretty great.
Hello?
Hashtag just went really robot-y for me, and I'm not sure if she went really robot-y for anyone else.
Definitely for me.
Yes.
How's the chat? That's cutting out.
So much robot.
Yeah.
Why you hate me, Discord?
You're fine now.
Well, this episode is going great.
I met up with a very helpful commander in the Elan Riverlands, and...
What?
You're just a little robot-y. You're fine.
No!
Just,
no!
You're just a little airborne. You're fine. Oh, it's still fine.
Okay. So he was able to help people find all of the places for the various collection items for the Griffin in the Elan Riverlands by putting markers up around the map. Even though he had to drop out and he just kind of parked his character, he made sure that everybody knew what to do. He left notices in the squad broadcast of what all the markers meant. And basically it was kind of a choose your own adventure, follow it at your own pace. And it was really fun. So that was pretty great.
That's cool.
And let's see. I'm thinking
about being a robot full time.
Thinking about building a new computer. So this is quite timely.
Oh, I wonder if that'll solve the connection issues that you constantly have.
So I can let the Mac do its Mac-y things and let my gaming computer do its gamey things.
Maybe this is spoiler for underwater expansion.
You are a new computer. Thanks, Slams.
Just tell your husband if he really did love you, he would buy you a PC.
Yes. So yeah, I really I'm trying so hard to give the 64-bit client a try, and sometimes it's okay and sometimes it's awful and the FPS drops me to half of what it was on the 32 and so I need a PC. Donations are accepted.
Oh, shameless.
No. And let's see, huge thank you to a super special someone for sending gifts in game. I previously only had one gem store glider, the chicken glider, and so now I have doubled my glider count, and I'm the proud owner of a branded glider backpack, and it's so shiny and cool and lots of fun, and I love it.
It looks amazing on your necro, like the way with the shroudy look that you have.
Yep.
Yeah, it looks really good.
My Halloween last look
night. Looks really good.
Yeah, it's super fun. I also opened up some boxes with some keys, and I also got the Hydra staff and a bunch of minis and the sloth backpack and a bunch of scraps. So fun times. So thank you.
Is it my turn?
It is indeed.
Yeah.
Alona, what have you been up to?
I took the 22nd off of work to be able to hop right in to Path of Fire. And before the update, I flipped between the official ANET stream and also Bog Otter's Twitch stream. And Hunter and I were both in Discord and chatting about stuff while we were getting ready. And this isn't really spoiler, but I really liked the lead up stream and then the, hey, now it's time, blot servers switched over. Like, I thought that was really, really good. I quite enjoyed that. Like, a lot more than I would have thought if it had been described to me. So anyway, that's not really a spoiler, but that it made it feel a little bit more eventful. And so, of course, I played a ton of Path of Fire, but obviously not enough to have someone who's not had a computer for a week to still be ahead of me in many parts of the game. And because of that, though, I had a bunch of decay in PvP. So I started a match this past Friday, and no word of a lie, my dog shut off the router, Mitch, mid-match. So, like, her toy went behind the router, and she went after it. And so I came back to desertion and decay. I was like, oh my gosh, this is like so embarrassing. Like, I'm sure everyone on my team thought I rage quit, or because we were losing, but I was probably reported for bailing on a match or something. Because like, it was no bueno. I was very disappointed about that. It was my dog that did it.
And what is your favorite dance? Is it the robot?
Am I robot-y? Because
you're pretty robot-y.
Oh,
it's not just me. Yay!
You're way too happy about that hashtag. Anyway, just keep going.
A second. Should I? Okay, so for the actual show, we should have local recordings and we should be fine. At one point, I got first in one of the raptor races in Amnoon Oasis. I've only done two of them since the game launched. Of course, I did some in the preview weekends, but I did two since launch. And the last one I was in, I got first, which is surprising because I went the wrong way for a little bit and had to backtrack. And not only did I win, I won by a lot, like 30 seconds. So
there were other people who were in the race with you.
There were lots of other people in the race. The only thing I can think is I did have Canyon Jump unlocked, and I think that was a large part of why I won.
There's a place towards the end of the race where you really should save your endurance, and a lot of people just don't, and they end up falling into these ditches and having to go around, and that's a great way to gain a lot of time on other people.
Yeah. So I really love the raptor. So I've gotten really good, although we'll talk about this later on, but at like sticking the landing for like doing jumps and like landing on a small surface, like on a pillar.
Right?
I'm actually really good at it. A bit of a savant, actually. I'm actually very good at it. I'm just going to own it. I am good at it. Anyway, I took part in Relics of Ors, Windswept Haven, Guildhall Claim. You were there for that too, right? Woo-hoo. Hashtag.
I was indeed. As was Hunter in spirit.
He was in spirit. Yes. Sure. And.
Well, but.
Sure.
Yeah. Well.
You wanted to be taking part. Anyway, it was a lot of fun. It was really interesting because spirit hadn't cleared the decorations, and whatever decorations are in your previous guild hall are still in your new guild hall. And they're in the same, I guess they use the same box or something, the same shape. So they're in the same spots. And so there's things like floating midair. It's very bizarre looking.
Mm.
And, but it was good. It was difficult, but not so difficult that you didn't want to continue at all. So Mox first Guild Knight post Path of Fire launch was a very practical mastery in HP train of just guildies. And then this past Sunday, we went back to regular old missions, which were also fun. And I'm still making progress on the Draconic Mons back piece and Aurora collections. So this is part of the reason why I don't have map completion done. I'm still trying to do some of the things for Hot and Living Story and, well, not Hot, Living Story and core stuff. So I helped my buddy get his basic gliding in Heart of Thorns. It was my friend that I did almost all of the Guild War 2 campaigns and expansions with. So
Guild Wars 1?
Yeah.
In Guild Wars 1, yeah, in Guild Wars 1, sorry. And he was very close to finishing the basic gliding and finishing that one. So I helped him with that one night. I made another guardian, so I now have two. This one is going to be my Firebrand, and I use my level 80 boost on her. And it's I'm looking forward to that. I haven't unlocked Firebrand yet, so I have no idea really what's a doing there as far as how that plays. I got my 27k achievement chest at one point. I can't remember exactly. And finally, after some serious initial button mashing, I've figured out, and I'm really enjoying Mirage. I went through the story once, when I went through the story, I did it with my basic build for Alona because I wanted something I was very familiar with, which I do think in certain instances really helped me. But I really, really like Mirage quite a bit. I'm super enjoying it. For PvP, I'm still keeping to the base Mesmer, but for PvE, it's pretty cool. And that's everything I did.
Every other week, we post a poll on Twitter for what we call Votes of Ascalon. This week we asked, Flash Vote, who will still be alive at the end of the Poff story? And
so that was actually last week, not this week. Right,
that was the day before the expansion launched. And with 21%, Bram, 42%, Kanak, 20%, Kazmir, and 17%, Balazar. That was 149 votes on that one. So thanks.
I'm loving the Kanak love.
Yeah, everyone loves Kanak. One of my favorite characters. I'm surprised more people didn't vote for Bram, as I said on Twitter. I wouldn't be surprised if they killed off one of the most hated characters.
They won't kill off Bram.
And there were a few people who replied to me and they said, RJ Wee said they will leave him around just to aggravate us. And Slurms from the Orator said he will join Balthazar and then you have to kill him. And at Shangaku said, Eric from Relics of War, I think he is safe for now. His X-Pack, where we resettle the old Norn lands, is still at least two X-Packs away.
Actually, that's kind of like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And at Honor Heart Higher replied saying, it's possible Ritlock will replace Balthasar like Cormyr replaced Abaddon.
I hadn't even seen that one, actually.
And Burning Beard 696 said, if Kanak isn't alive, we should riot.
I agree.
Not wrong. And at Zero Kitsune said, Kanak has to. That man orchestrated Lionsarch destruction, see Karka invasion. What could some little human god do to him? Well, kill him. Balthazar is pretty dangerous.
Take your bullet. Well, you know, kill them.
At Caleb Dewey said, surprise, it'll be Snaf as a fragment of Kralkotoric's mind. The rest will be in fragments in his stomach.
Wow.
That's weird.
Dark.
And finally, at Romo SSJ5 said, where's Ritlock? I guess
Ritlock will never die.
Yeah.
He's like Scully from The X-Files. You don't die.
Relax in it to the end until they get rid of all the ghosts in Ascalon anyway.
It's true.
And that is it for Votes of Ascalon.
And now it's time for First Spear Impressions, where we talk about our first impression of Path of Fire, and we'll start with what we thought of the story, and just quick sideline, it's spoilerific, even more spoiler than any part previous to this. So, Hunter, story.
Yeah, I thought the story pulled out all the stops for Path of Fire. The comparison between Hot and Poff is pretty staggering, because while Hot dealt with some big story elements here and there, and had some surprising twists. It felt like Poff was constantly throwing great writing at you every story step and every part of the way. And every step felt like a natural progression in your pursuit of Balthazar. Unlike in Hot, where you get sidetracked pretty majorly right in the middle of the action.
Well, so I think part of that was part the zones themselves, like to even get to the next story step was like, ow, stop hitting me, ow. And so it would take forever to get to the next story step.
Which completely throws the pacing off, right? Like you've forgotten where you were at, kind of what had just happened by the time you finally get to the next part. So that's kind of, I think the pacing is really great for this. I think the length was absolutely perfect. It didn't feel too short. It didn't feel too long. I felt like they really set us up for the next, you know, couple living seasons. Lots of great loose ends to play with. I think it's also worth noting that the story is pretty much necessary to unlock your mounts. On my second account, my account that I use with my students, I only have the Raptor unlocked so far, and I wasn't playing the story except for the opening story, and I was hoping to just get the basic mounts unlocked, but I couldn't because they're pretty much gated. So you have to have Springer 3 or Skimmer to get to enough of the mastery points in order to complete or to, you know, get the mounts. Like you have to have Raptor 3 to get Springer. And I am 2 mastery points short of that. And I can't get those mastery points anywhere except doing story. So, which
well,
I actually kind of
like.
Well,
you could go back to Hot, couldn't you?
No, it's a different, they're different mastery points.
Oh, right. Never mind. I'm thinking hero points.
But I think it works. I mean, I think people should be encouraged to be in the story because I think the mounts kind of fall right into the storyline. And I like it. I like that they're doing that. So well done.
Mm-hmm. Well, you guys have, you're both absolutely right. Like this, but for me, this really did have everything like the, as far as story, like the, and we, I talked a little bit at the before we started recording, like what counts as story, like where do I put some of my thoughts towards this. So I'm putting these thoughts here. Like it's the music, the voice acting, the writing. It was also, it was like a book I couldn't put down. I had no intention of marathoning the story. And I had it done by late Saturday night sometime, possibly early Sunday morning, depending on how your timekeeping. But it was like, I just could not stop. I wanted to know what was going to happen next. I was delighted when I, specifically, I was delighted when I met Cormyr. And it's sort of, again, because, you know, she was such a huge part of Nightfall, and Nightfall was a huge, such a huge part of my Guild Wars 1 experience. And then, so, okay, I proceeded to cry. Spoiler, because she told me during the story, or in all of us, that she, that the gods were leaving and that she was leaving. And now whenever I talk about this step of the story, I tear up again. Like I was telling Cal about it the other night, and I started to tear up again when she was talking about how, you know, and she was saying that she had to go and blah, blah, blah. Oh my God. I'm possibly the biggest Cormyr fan on the face of the planet, apparently.
Yeah.
I loved the departing story step so much. And I know as far as a story step with a mechanic to finish it has been a bit problematic for a lot of people. The part before that was just wonderful. The writing in it was phenomenal. And harkening back to like even to factions, like where you, the one part in factions where you die and the, is it the guardians? Is that what they were called? The spirits, Hunter, do you remember?
Envoys?
The envoys, mean? Yeah. Mm. And they help make sure that you are able to come back to finish the job that you need to do. And, oh, so good. Like, so good. And quick final shout out to some top-notch Canuck dialogue. You get me, ArenaNet. You get me. I love Knock so much.
You realize that, like, vast swaths of Guild Wars fans hate Cormyr, right?
I do. I don't care. I love Cormyr.
All right.
Mm-hmm. I love her, and she means a great deal to me personally. And it was so touching to me that it, okay.
She's going to tear up again.
It was like someone who is very important to you saying, having to say goodbye to you forever. Like, it was okay. So sad. It was okay. So sad.
So moving on to exploration part of the expansion, part of what I've really liked about Path of Fire, like my favorite part of Path of Fire, is the sense of exploration, because hot maps tended to have a lot of big areas with nothing or very little inside of them. There would be like a point of interest and like nothing to interact with, nobody to talk to, nothing to go and see, just scenery, but nothing there other than maybe some mobs. And it's just like,
well, the quit hitting me thing. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And, so if you left the beaten path, there wasn't very much. And even on the beaten path, there was still just not a whole lot around in some of the maps.
But so, that made sense for the type of story they were telling. Like, it was a new, uncharted area.
I mean, you can defend it that way, but I don't think that that makes for a very fun game. Poth definitely seems to have more things added in. Content, NPCs, stuff everywhere. I think Poth benefits a lot from so much lore already existing in the Alona area.
Yeah.
Unlike in Hot, but it's just Hot really pales in comparison to Poth, I think. And I think Alona really resulted in a lot of inspiration as well for Arena devs to put things in. And yeah, another thing is that Arena didn't appear to be shy about bringing back or referencing every little thing and throwing in some new things as well, all over the place.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. So exploration was like top notch for me.
Mm-hmm.
So in Hot, a lot of the exploration was dependent on gliders and mushrooms and wallows. And in Poth, we have the mount system. And I feel like the mounts were really cleverly and organically tied into your map exploration. It feels natural to swap between mounts while you're traversing the map and running around. You can get to each part of the map in a reasonable amount of time, and it's fun to get around the map. I also like that verticality is a thing in Poth, but it's not used in the confusing way it is in the hot maps, where it's kind of like a insider joke, like, I figured out how to do Tangled Depths and you can't do it without me. But in Poth, it's more, do you have the right mount? Can you figure out how to jump up with your rabbit? And it's fun. I don't know. There's just a spirit of adventure and fun to these maps that I love.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like with Hot, the whole expansion revolves around the glider, but with Poth, you have mounts, but the whole expansion doesn't necessarily revolve around them. There's a ton of stuff you can do without mounts in Poth, but there's not that much you can do in Hot without a glider.
Yeah. True. I found it was very hard to not get sidetracked with exploring the maps while I was in full-blown story completion mode, because I wanted to finish the story. But then you'd go somewhere and you're like, whoa, I just need to... And you, like, an hour would have passed and you're like, okay, well, this is amazing, but I haven't gotten any further on the story. And particularly like the dwarven area to the north in the Desert Highlands? Is that the name of the zone?
Yes.
And then at one point during like a break in the story, because you do need breaks at time, I just barreled south for as far as I could, just because, and if I looked at the map at that point, I probably should have taken a screenshot of it because it was like literally a path just straight south. Like, how far can I go? And just,
yes, just I remember that because we went all the way. I was with you, I believe. And we went into the desolation and we went into the, what's it called? The heart of, mm-hmm. The major part in the desolation down in the south. And, I mean, that's a hard thing to get into. I don't know how we got in there without, fully mastered mounts. And we just kind of ran in. It was like dumb luck and got the hero point there.
Yeah. And then there was, and then we were kind of looped back around and there was a point that you could glide from. And I don't know how I had no idea we were as high up as we were at this point. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, well, there's things that down here that are supposed to be high up and difficult to get to, and they're below me, so might as well get them now. And yeah, it's pretty immersive and forgiving for exploration. Like, you don't necessarily feel like you're going to be beat up every step of the way, unless you're in the Brand. The Brand is a thing. It is real.
And it hurts.
And it hurts.
Right. So moving on to mounts. I'm not sure we need this many mounts. I think there might be too many mounts.
Shut your mouth?
No, you're
shut
wrong.
Your mouth.
And again, I only have four days of playtime, but they all seem really well done, aside from a few minor points. I wish I could sidestep better, like just move to the left a little bit instead of like completely turning my mount around just while I'm trying to move to the left.
I feel like some of that is getting used to it and just knowing.
Do I seem like someone who needs a lot of time to get used to video game stuff?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No.
I don't know. See, I understand what Hunter's saying, and I agree, because that's how I move. I use a lot of strafing, and so it feels a little odd, but I think that's on purpose. I think that if the mounts felt too much like your person running around, it would, I don't know. I think there needs to be a little bit more challenge in some ways to balance out the quickness of the mounts and things like that.
It might be on purpose. It doesn't matter to me either way. It feels bad and I don't like it.
I actually never even noticed that as a thing, but I also don't strafe, so.
Yeah, and I feel like mounts could be finessed a little better. Sometimes I feel like I move really big circles when I just want to move a little bit, and I don't like it. But I finally feel like I can move around Tyria a lot better and faster. Mm-hmm. And that is something that I've wanted since launch, basically. So I don't have to carry swiftness on my character all the live long day.
Yep.
I got to a point in Keswick's Hills. There's that really large peak. It's middle north area. And I was able to use the bunny, the
Springer,
thank you, to jump up to the very top of this peak and just look around. And it was like, oh, this is nice.
Mm-hmm.
It's nice I can do this.
But
back to mounts.
I think there should be more die channels or better ways to individualize mounts. I find the amount of areas you can die is quite lacking. I'm hoping with skins, surely there will be mount skins coming in, right?
Actually, someone asked me what mount skin I would like, and I was kind of put on the spot, and I went, moose!
I would cosplay
as a mountie and ride a moose. And be, I am the most Canadian thing that ever existed.
Now, wait, do you think that a mount can be... a skin for a mount could be mapped to any mount, or do you think it'll be like a saddle? Like the mount would be like a different kind of saddle, like an ornate something that looks different that goes on top of your creature, so that it still looks like a Springer, but now you have something fancy on top of your Springer.
Horse armor. like the infamous Bethesda Horus armor for, what was it, Oblivion or Skyrim? I can't remember.
Also, I don't actually want them to do this. I swear to God, I don't actually want them to do this. But when I heard Rift was introducing a budgie mount, I almost wanted to play the game again just for that. But I recognize that it would be terrible probably for the game. But I would love to ride a budgie.
Well.
But I don't think they should. Moose I could go with. That would be kind of cool because moose are awesome. But...
So which mount do you think would gain the moose? Would it be the raptor?
Springer.
You're gonna bound up the...
How? Oh, no, raptor. You're right. Sorry, raptor.
I'm trying to picture this moose with, like,
No. I was flailing. I was like, no, you're absolutely right, raptor. You're absolutely right, raptor.
For the record, your ideas are crazy and deluded.
I don't care. They're fun and whimsical, and that is all that matters.
So, first impressions, Skimmer was my favorite, but now I don't know. Because I use my raptor, my griffin, the most, and I find the Springer to be the most versatile. So it's not super fast, but it gets me where I need to go, and I kind of love using it. I love the sounds of the Springer. I love the sounds of the Skimmer, too, right? That little, like,
ooh. The noises are all ooh. Good.
Ooh. yeah, it has personality. And
I'm pretty sure you both are on crack or something.
No, the Skimmer definitely has personality. It definitely has a voice. And
it's powered by Toots. So yes. That's also delightful.
Right. So the Springer took me a couple of days to get used to unmounting. And I remember, like, in map chat, when everybody first got their Springer, you know, you'd go to get a mastery point and you'd go flying over it, or you'd be at the mastery point, you'd dismount and you'd get pushed off. And everybody was, you know, dying. But now I don't see that happening as much. And I feel like myself, I've kind of figured out how to correct for that, right? Like, when you dismount, you can move your character in air. So you can kind of push yourself forward a little bit so that you dismount where you started. And I seem to find that that works for me. Alona?
Oh, it's my turn? Okay. I love the mounts. Raptor is still my favorite. Granted, I have not unlocked the super spoilerific secret that's not a spoiler or a secret anymore, Griffin. But they're all so unique and just useful. And they fit. I found that they fit into the world seamlessly. And they feel like they've always been part of the game, even though it's been less than 2 weeks. And they're wonderful. So, group mount with a guild bus. Hashtag is just making up stuff in the guild chat here. I'm just super pleased with them. And, you know, I'm not going to say I want, like, there should be two die channels. But at the same time, if there were, I'd be here for that. I would love that a lot. I think that... I find sometimes the dies don't necessarily, there's not a huge variation. Like, you think there's so many of the dies look almost identical. And unless you go, like, super extreme there, you don't really notice it for a lot
of
them.
Yeah, I don't, like, I don't understand
on the raptor
why...
in particular.
Oh, no, the dust pupper. So on the, yes. You know, yes. So I'll use the what's the really dark green, the shadow green
okay.
That I have, and on everything else that is super dark, but on the jackal, it's kind of this really, really lime pale green.
I feel like this is the same thing that happens with the chaos gloves to a certain extent, where there's very little, because they are so illuminated, there's very little variation in the dye colors when they're applied. And but I know what you're saying. That is true. Absolutely. So yeah, I'm enjoying them. I'm looking forward to getting the griffin a great deal. I still love the raptor the best, though. I love it so much. It's like a cross between a dinosaur and a dog, two things I love a lot. And I'm super happy with that.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay, so moving on to lore. As I said earlier, Poff has the advantage of taking place in Alona, while Hot didn't have a lot of previously existing lore to rely on. And it really shows. It introduces new lore. Poff introduces new lore, references old lore, fills in the gaps of what happened in the past 250 years. And the NPCs, I think, are one of the best parts. That they have, the NPCs they have explaining the specializations are great.
Yeah.
Best part of the new lore is, for me, is how Palawa Joko has twisted everything to his image. Just like the stories surrounding that and what you see of it.
And to be able to make a choice. Like, there's that one story thing where you make a choice, too.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
If I have a complaint, it's that there isn't enough Palawa Joko.
Fair enough. Although, I have no idea why anyone would side with him. Like, I don't understand that. Like, how you see an awakened and go, yeah, that's for me.
Sounds like a good idea. So I chose that option on my school account. No, on my school account because I wanted to see how it played differently, and to see the different dialogue. So I've just started it, but I did choose to side with Palawa Joko.
Yeah. So this kind of goes back to story, but we can talk about that later, I guess. But the whole expansion was just one big lore bomb, and it was glorious. And I was reminded of things I forgot, delighted with sights I remembered. And my gut feeling is that while this is true for someone who's experienced all these places in Guild Wars 1, it's all been done in a way that doesn't leave newer players that hadn't played Guild Wars 1 out in the cold. And I think that's it brings them into it. And hashtag is, I'm sorry to like throw this back at you, like surprise back at you, but like, how did you feel from that perspective?
I felt okay for most of it. There were a couple things that I didn't know what to do at certain parts. Like maybe there was a heart or an event that was, seemed to me that there was something, you know, lore related. I didn't understand. Like, for example, the Ascension Rock, I have no idea what I'm supposed to do there.
Is that the hero point where the Simon says?
No.
Okay.
I think it's in the Riverlands.
Augury Rock.
Yeah, but there's something. It's next to it, though. There's like
the meta event that's going on there, or what are you
maybe
talking about?
maybe. I don't know. Anyway, I felt like the NPC that was there was asking me to do things is something I didn't understand what he was talking about. So sometimes there were a couple things like that where I felt a little confused, but not to the point where it would make me frustrated. It was more like, oh, I want to figure out more what's going on here and what I missed. And
would
you know,
that have
I think
been
that's
any different than
about.
When you're presented with something new in any other thing?
Yeah.
And it's just that maybe people who, if they played the original Guild Wars 1 games, might have just had a little bit of more of a nudge.
Right.
You know what to do.
And I appreciate all the Easter eggs, right? Like, I mean, it's fun for me when I'm playing with you to hear you get all excited, you know, and to, you know.
Yeah, that never happens.
The Alona-like. you know what I'm talking about. And yeah. So
even Hunter had a few of those moments, to be perfectly honest, like not quite as effusive as me, but there were times.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, you do.
The sky in desert highlands.
Oh yeah.
You still don't know Alona.
I still don't, but I kind of do, but I still don't. I don't know the full.
So art is next up. I think the whole thing looks really good. Probably the best looking area for me is the Enchanted Bluffs area with the huge waterfalls. Mm-hmm. And
yeah,
it's in the west of the desert highlands. I also enjoy the dwarven areas quite a bit, but not enough of it for my taste. I mean, there's plenty there, but I want more. And hopefully we'll see some in an upcoming expansion someday. But yeah, just, you know, it looks good. I don't really have much else to say about the art.
Okay, so for me, the big thing were the transparent curtains yes! and wall hangings. Gorgeous. Like in yes. Cormier's library, absolutely gorgeous. But then where was I? I was in some... Oh, no. In the Temple of Cormier. There's a couple transparent hangings there as well. Mm-hmm. It's just so gorgeous. And, it, you know, it
we need transparent
my,
clothes.
Right?
Right?
Like our, you know, our my little bit of time that I've been in Guild Wars 1 with Alona and her see-through clothes.
Oh, the Ellie.
I definitely agree. I definitely saw what you're talking about, and I agree completely. So, yeah.
I can't decide if you're... Are you being sarcastic?
I don't know. So, I think... here's the thing. I think that this is definitely coming... We're going to get some outfits. And I wish that there was going to be more armor, but I'm guessing it's mostly going to be outfits with this type of fabric. And I just want to say, you know, as we're branching out into different fabrics and patterns, you know, plaid is coming soon. So hashtag predicts plaid within the next year.
That hashtag predicts is going to bite you in the bum so hard in the future, and you know it. Okay, so I did actually write notes while I was going through to try to remember things that were standing out to me while I was playing, and almost all of them were art based. The floaty spinny crystals, like after the sacrifice event with Vlast, like, and those types of crystals are in other parts of the game after this, but the effects on them where they were glinting, no pun intended, in the mm-hmm. light as they were spinning around was just phenomenal. Like, I was mesmerized by them. They were just so beautiful. And the birds, air quotes, in the library that are, when you look at them and get closer, they're really flying books.
Okay, so I have a... I have a question.
What?
So this is somewhat tangentially related, though, because you just mentioned Glint and Vlast. And why was there the name change?
That is a fine question that I don't have an answer to, and I'm not entirely sure why.
I think it's probably just the forgotten language versus common language.
Okay. If I had to be perfectly honest, my thinking is they decided they didn't like the name.
No.
It's Gleam, right? Gleam.
They didn't like Gleam, and they went, right. Gleam's not cool enough. Let's change it to...
Well, in Hot, they had Glint being known as Gloust.
That's true, too. Mm. Okay, fine. You're right. I'll take it back. It did read to me as, like, we don't really like this name that we gave it like 8 years ago, so we're just going to change it now and give it a lore reason why. But that's how it read to me. But you could be absolutely right, Hunter. That might just mean being ungenerous. Anyway, you make the transition pretty easily, though. Like, it's not a huge deal when all said and done.
No.
So yeah, the flying books were super cool. The heat waves during the day and desert highlands, like when you go to, is it Malachi, whatever, the first entrance area into desert highlands, and you're looking, you leave the encampment there and you look out and there's like the heat waves. You can, it's palpable how hot this area is. Like, it's just phenomenal. The sky at any point, day or night, is gorgeous. Absolutely gorgeous. And there's that one area that you guys were talking about that I don't know the full glory of, because I haven't done that mastery point. The fabrics, the textures, like I don't know if anyone else watches Bob's Burgers, but I felt like Louise when she gets her first crush and she's so overwhelmed with emotion that she can barely contain herself and her only response is that she wants to slap the guy she has a crush on. Like, this is just too beautiful. I am overwhelmed with this beauty and it's just, oh. I like how you guys have like one sentence each and
and you gush. That's okay.
It's just so good. It is so good. Anyway, that's it for me, I guess. I probably have more, but I can't think of it right now.
Right. So finally, we're just going to start end with achievements. I've heard there are some achievements.
Oh, Hunter.
Yeah.
My favorite achievements so far have been the collection type achievements, like the mount treats. So there is a collection for each of the four mounts, Raptor, Springer, Skimmer, Jackal, where you are basically running around the maps where those mounts are unlocked and doing different quests, and you unlock treats, and you can give your mount a daily treat, and you get a little bit of mastery experience for it. And it's just super fun. It's really, there's clever dialogue and it's all tied together and it's just, it's fun. It's doable, fun, good achievements. And then there's the carrot achievement, which I really liked, where your rabbit is kind of traveling around the desert highlands finding carrots. And yeah, so fun stuff. I like those.
I haven't done an awful lot of the achievements. They're kind of happening as they happen. I did not realize there was an achievement for the mount treats and kept hearing about mount treats from the and I'm like, oh, that's fine, continue on. Completely ignoring that part of the thing. So I've not done hardly any achievements other than what you would have got through story. And I will say, the ability to get story achievements on your first pass through has been pretty awesome. Like, being able to stay in, like, for instance, the library and accomplishing achievements there, or being able to see the achievements on your bar when you first enter a story and thinking, okay, let's see if I can achieve this objective, to be able to get this done now. That was pretty great. But I haven't done much other than that, so I don't have a whole lot more to say about that one.
I'm a fan of, I know there's been some chatter on Twitter and Reddit about the amount of achievement points per achievement and, you know, how they're low. And I'll admit sometimes Hunter's heard me. I think I said last night, like, I only got one for that. But I would rather have way more achievements and less, you know, and then be worth less achievement points each than have fewer achievements worth more each. I like that there's
that
so
make
many.
It, and those ones usually are way harder to get, too. Like, so
right.
You have to work harder to get anything versus bite size. Like, these, it's more like the amuse-bouche of of achievements.
And I do like that a lot of these achievements, you happen upon them naturally. So most of them, I mean, I'm starting to now go through my achievements and kind of be a little more focused on the ones I want to work on. But when I started out, I literally went through my bag and, you know, I had things in my bag that told me to go somewhere or to talk to someone. And I started with that and just trying to clear out my bag and figure out what these things were and what I needed to do with them. And then, you know, little achievements would pop up and little things would kind of lead me along my way. So I like that you're getting achievements by doing things that you want to do.
I also... sorry, Hunter, go on.
Just a couple of things before we wind down First Spear Impressions. The smaller amount of achievement points that we've been getting is not a new thing. This is something that's been happening since before even Living Story Season 3, but was certainly... we should be used to it by now with Living Story Season 3. Yeah. Secondly, you had like one sentence written down here and you went on for like 5 minutes. Just saying.
That's what I do.
Both of you, yeah.
And you do it too. So,
so actually, we didn't have a section here for things that we... It's not so much didn't like. That's not necessarily fair. But do you guys want to talk about something that... I know I mentioned The Departing is one of my favorite story steps, but I know hashtag you had a huge, like you had more issues with that one. And we've heard that it seems to be overtuned, or like, what do you guys, was there a step in particular of the story that you thought missed the mark or so was that, difficult or?
That story segment, I spent 5 hours on. So it was incredibly painful and frustrating and bang my head against the wall. A lot of it was because I did not have my build properly tuned up. But I also, I don't know. I wonder if they have kind of stealth tuned things up, you know, changed things just a little bit, because it seems like the people who are going in there now, reports are coming back that it's, you know, oh yeah, it wasn't that bad. I was able to, you know, get him behind a rock and get out of his thing. But for me, when I was in it, I could not get away from him. My movement skills, I was like, any time I would move away from him, he would instantly be next to me, and I could not get away fast enough. I could not break his bar. I was throwing all of my CC stuff at him, and it was like I couldn't do anything. So the
Imagine
only
like
way out...
teleporting to you, because yeah, that could be a lag issue.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I know Cora from Shadow of the Dragon was having, it sounded like she had a similar situation to you, hashtag, mm-hmm, from that point of view. So, and I have heard that it's, I'm not sure whether it was like bug or overtuned or what have you. I know I benefited from the fact that both of you had been there before me, and I was able to get non-spoilery tips, like as far as like have as much break bar, as much CC, yep, as you possibly can going into that fight. Plus also Mesmer having the clones. But I don't think I had a particular instance, like they were all pretty seamless for me, but then again, yeah, this particular one, I don't know what it would have been like had I been in there first before you.
So
guys,
the second time I went through, it took like a third of the time that it took the first time I went through, and I think that honestly I would not have been as frustrated with the Eater of Souls had I not spent so much time before in the part where you lose your mini map. And
I love that, actually.
Just, yeah. But you had also heard, I don't know, you know, when Hunter and I were at the same step at the same time, and I literally, like, when I stepped out, I turned right away and I missed what was right in front of my eyes. And so I spent half an hour going around the edges of the map and missed what I needed elsewhere. And so by the time I finally figured out what I was supposed to be doing and where I was supposed to be going, quite a lot of time had gone by, and you know, you're tired and you're in an instance and you're hoping you don't crash and lose everything. And then I got into this fight that, you know, got nowhere. So,
and then you disconnected, yeah, or something.
Oh yeah, right, that, yes, that was the additional frustration for that part. But mm-hmm. Like, did you have any parts in, like, Hunter, that you found?
Yeah. Like, I did the same thing hashtag did. I would swear that NPC was not there the first time I looked around, and I ended up looking around the edges for stuff, and then I was jumping up on the sides of things, and I fell, yep, into an area that I couldn't jump out of, right by the jail cells or whatever. And I was stuck, and I had to leave and go back in, and everything went much faster after that because I found the stupid NPC, which I swear wasn't there, and then went up against the Eater of Souls, and I didn't have any CC on my bar, so it wasn't really going that well. So eventually I just dragged him over to some rocks and just longbowed him from a rock while I got him stuck on some other rocks. And that worked, and I got through it.
Yeah. And I know you guys... So for the bulk of the story, the three of us were actually in Discord together to be able to hopefully avoid story spoilers as much as possible. But at the same time, there were tips, like non-spoilery tips coming out here and there. And I will say I definitely benefited from you two going into that one first.
Do you remember, Hunter? Because I found the NPC after like banging my head against the wall before Hunter did. And it was like, Hunter, do you want a hint? Do you want a hint? And finally, you know, you said yes. And I said, find an NPC whose name starts with a certain letter. And then it was like, boom, there he was. And I totally understand that feeling where you're like looking around and you feel like you've talked to everything, you've looked at everything, and it's not there. And then somebody says one thing and poof, it's right there.
Well, it's not that I felt that he wasn't there. He wasn't there.
Well, I think the only thing for me with that instance was I left. There was the doppelganger portion, and I left the cave thinking, and then you guys said, no,
oh,
you have to go back there. I'm like, oh, okay. So I went back to the cave, and it was fine. I noticed the mini map was missing. So I looked around and tried to do some, okay, landmarking to know where things were. Like, okay, this is by here. And this is, so I noticed that, and I'm like, okay, I need to do some personal landmarking. Otherwise I'm going to get totally lost. And so I was fine there. And I actually feel like in many ways, you guys definitely gave me the super duper awesome tip of bring as many CCs as you possibly can for Eater of Souls. I feel like I benefited, or not benefited. It was similar to the Codicus fight from the Living Story season 3 chapter, where for whatever reason, the Mesmer build I was running just made it easier.
You are so proud of that.
I'm not saying okay. It's just.
We got a lot of show to get through.
Yeah. I'm just saying, like, between that and you guys helping, having gone through it first, made it. I could see how that would be very frustrating if you were unable to break bars and be able to like nail down what needed to be done there. Mm-hmm. So, but yeah, which is. The first part of that was so cool lore-wise.
All right. And now it's time for Post of Ascalon, where we discuss the latest news in Guild Wars 2. First up, we're going to talk about the release notes from September 22nd when Path of Fire was released. So there was a little bit of an announcement for the Crystal Desert. The human god of fire and war, Balthazar, has reportedly been waging a campaign of terror and chaos across the lands of the Crystal Desert, desperate to claim an Elder Dragon's power for his own. Many have fled the region altogether, caught between the War God's mysterious and deadly new army of Forged, the undead awakened hordes of Palawajoko, and the mindless and savage branded minions of Krakatorik. As the Crystal Desert and the northern domains of Alona open again after 250 years of separation, what new secrets and powers will be revealed to you as you race to stop Balthazar from carrying out his plans? Then they go into explaining some of the mounts. And we've already talked a lot about mounts, so there's just a couple extra things to kind of highlight here. So mounts can be purchased from renowned merchants at mount camps after completing a specific task region that teaches you about the mount and gives you some experience riding it. I really like that. I like that you got to borrow a mount and kind of try things out first.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Acquiring a mount will also unlock its associated mastery line, which provides you a way to progress and upgrade each mount even further.
Go ahead. And also the fact that there are icons on your map where mounts are available.
Yes.
So that is, and it's specific mounts. Like there's one for each type of mount.
Right. So up in Desert Highlands, there's a little bunny icon on the map where you pick up your Springer. So there's a note with mounts. We have added a new assortment of keybinds to the game that are used for mounts and their abilities. There may be some conflicts with the default mount binds and your base keybinds, depending on what you have set your binds to. Please review
your key binds and the new mount binds to make sure you have them set up to your liking.
Have either of you done that?
Yes, absolutely. And it's really necessary, at least for me, because I had to remap my binds and I kind of have it worked out now. And it just, it feels right.
Yeah, I rebound a bunch of keys just today because I was using Alt for my main mount bind, but I Alt-Tab a lot. So, yeah, that wasn't working out. It was getting kind of annoying, so I changed that.
I have not at all and have been doing being a filthy clicker and clicking on the thing and switching manually with
seriously?
Yes. Yeah, that's what I've been doing. I have not taken the time to do that. I will, but I haven't yet. I haven't yet.
All right. There is a new guild hall, as we talked about earlier. Speak to Explorer Hashim in the Guild Initiative headquarters to begin an expedition to claim the new Windswept Haven Guild Hall. Switching to the new Guild Hall will maintain any existing upgrades you have unlocked in the Gilded Hollow or the Lost Precipice. Discover new decoration and emblems with which to adorn your hall and distinguish your guild.
Have you guys...
absolutely love Windswept Haven. It is gorgeous.
So you have spent time in there.
Yes. Yes.
In Relics of Wars.
Not in Relics. I have another guild that had it unlocked previous to Relics. So I'd actually already been in it a little bit and in the daytime. So seen it in its full glory. And it is really, really pretty.
It is. I was in Maven's Guild Hall. They had switched over and... I haven't been into Relics since they've stripped the decorations and started redecorating. So I'd like to do that. But I'm still torn because I really love Gilded Hollow. But we'll see for us. But it is a beautiful, beautiful Guild Hall.
All right. So then there were some updates to the game overall. In general, the Shining Blade Secrets instance for Season 3, Episode 6 has been adjusted to allow for better gameplay with parties. The rest of the party can now help the owner of the instance fight off White Mantle in the Henge of Dunravi illusion, and they are eligible for all achievements associated with this encounter. I missed this. This is good. Members of the party not involved in directly fighting the manifestation of self-doubt can now encourage and motivate their friend, helping their skills recharge more quickly. That's some good changes there.
Yeah, we should probably go in at some point together.
Yeah.
Yeah, I need those. So, yes.
Yep. Incomplete task regions on other maps will now appear as empty hearts on the world map.
So what were they before?
Complete.
Really?
What? I don't understand. If it's a region, task regions. Okay.
Yeah.
I see. All right. Left-clicking on achievements and similar notifications will take you to the appropriate page in the hero panel.
Nice.
Good. I love this.
Nice.
Right-clicking will dismiss the notification without opening it. I've already been doing this. It is so nice.
Yes.
This is so good. Right-clicking a bouncy chest will automatically take the contents if there is no selectable item for some reward types.
Sounds good.
Good stuff.
Yep.
Yep.
I haven't been able to experience any of this, so.
Really? Well,
not really.
You had 4 days. Come on.
I don't remember ever trying it, so.
Oh my gosh, Alona. So Alona has made bold and made about size 50.
30. 30.
Entire stacks of consumable containers can be opened with right-click context menu. Opening will stop if the stack is exhausted, the inventory fills up, or the inventory screen is closed.
We are the champions, my friends.
Okay, I'll admit, you may love it, but here's the thing. I feel like...
You don't have to use Puff, it.
Well, you don't have to use it. And Poff is really well. I love the way that they have dealt with inventory management, right? Like your bags don't fill up every other step. And you, like,
this
so
is non-Poff specific. This is non-Poff specific.
I'll clear it out, you know, once a night or so. And
I kind of like clicking bags that open into bags. It's kind of fun.
What is wrong with you?
I don't know. It's a little bit rewarding.
I have used this many times where it's specifically like in hot maps where you're doing the meta events and you end up with like 30 stacks of something and you just right click and say, okay. And then it fills, your bags fill and you salvage or sell or deposit to your bank. And then you proceed and you keep going. And it's just,
All right.
I love it.
So Aurora now gives credit for the legendary collector achievement.
I'm surprised it didn't.
And boons, enhancements, and conditions on bounty bosses have been reorganized to help visibility. So they're now on their own lines, which is really nice. You can easily see all of those things. Have you seen that? Either of you?
No, I hadn't. No, this is specific to bounty bosses.
Mm-hmm.
It was one of the first things I noticed on logging in.
I hadn't noticed that at all, and that is not surprising.
So there were a bunch of little tweaks and tunings to fractals, but we're going to kind of skip over those, and we're going to talk about some changes to items. So utility consumables have had their beneficial effect renamed from nourishment to enhancement to differentiate them from food effects. Okay. The following legendary weapons have had their custom projectile effects updated: Bolt, Incinerator, and Flames of War.
Do either of you have any of these?
Yes, I have Incinerator. I have not noticed a difference, but that might just be me. I'm not sure what changed. I should go experience it a little bit more. I have been playing with Incinerator a lot because I've been playing Scepter Torch and then Dagger Torch. So I have my dagger out a bit, but I don't know that I really have noticed. So I'll have to look. A number of the new Path of Fire crafting materials will not have a place in material storage. This is to allow them to establish a value appropriate to their rarity. They will be added to the storage in a future update. And I think we've talked about that. I think we talked about that last episode, that we were warned about that happening.
Yeah, but there's only like two things. It's Eyes of Cormyr and Ley Infused Sand, I think.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Is there anything else that isn't put in storage?
Not that I'm aware of, but I haven't.
I don't think so. There are those things that you have to, that stack, that you have to collect like 10 of or something like that.
Oh, right.
Those are filling up my bags. Yeah. But I don't know.
Well, are they really, though? Because they do stack.
They do stack, but I have about 8 different things right now.
Yeah. I don't think I'm down that rabbit hole yet, so.
There's a bunch.
Oh. So there are some general profession skill changes. Tooltips on skills, traits, and items for this condition now display increased damage against moving targets in a base inclusive fashion consistent across all of the game, rather than separating the base damage and the moving damage. I can't believe I didn't just edit this out of these, because that's boring. Leeching Bolts fixed a bug that was preventing whirl or projectile finishers from displaying in the combat log when used in a dark field. Can't believe I didn't edit that out. So they made some changes to when you pull people. Some changes have been made in order to reduce the frequency of players being moved into objects and becoming stuck. You may notice that such skills pull a touch slower and are much smoother, and they did the same thing with knockbacks. I guess people were getting pushed and pulled into objects. So Elementalist had a few skills changed so that skills will no longer queue. If able, it will interrupt other skills in order to cast. So this would be Gale, Gust, and Earthquake on the Elementalist. Churning Earth, the crippling pulses of this skill will now apply 8 seconds of bleeding in addition to its current effects, bringing the total potential number of bleeding stacks from 8 to 12. Engineer had a change to Elixir B, increased the stacks of might granted from 1 to 5, decreased the duration of the might granted from 30 seconds to 10 seconds, that's a significant change. I guess one might just isn't enough to bother with these days, even if it is for 30 seconds. 5 stacks is much better, but...
Well, I think, and that's a boon strip thing, probably. Like, if you can get the 5 for 10 more frequently,
mm-hmm.
is where that might come in.
I think that I don't know. Yeah, moving on. So the Hammer of Wisdom for Guardian has been... The cast time has been reduced on this skill, as with Shield of Avengers, Sword of Justice, and Bow of Truth. For some reason, they want us to be able to cast those a lot faster. Mesmer has mantras. The instant portion of these skills can now be cast while jumping. I don't know if that's important to...
No, well, they're instant casts, so having them be able to be cast while you're also in the air... Mm-hmm. Is actually really... If they're instant, they should be instant.
And Mirror Images, the skill now breaks enemy targeting when used. A new skill fact has been added to indicate other skills with this behavior in the Mirage specialization. So, do you use Mirror Images at all?
I haven't with Mirage, but I did notice that this was very similar to... The Mirage have a lot of break targeting options, so it's nice that this is also playing into that.
So, hashtag Necromancer here. I wanted to ask you about Death and Reaper's Shrouds added mm-hmm. 0.5 second delay on activation before being able to exit. Is that important?
It is important because, at least in my case, sometimes I'm button mashing so fast that I'll go in and out of it accidentally, and then I can't get back in without the count. You know, there's a countdown to get back in. So I think that's a good change. I haven't really experienced it that much because I haven't played Reaper in the past 2 weeks. So, but I can understand how it's a good thing. Yeah.
So with Reaper's Onslaught, increased bonus ferocity while in Reaper Shroud from 225 to 300 at level 80. This trait no longer reduces the recharge of Shroud skills on kill, but instead reduces the recharge of Shroud skills by 1 second if Life Reap hits. This recharge reduction can only occur once per use of Life Reap. I don't really know if that's significant or not.
It seems very, very specific. So,
yeah.
I think if it could be, you know, good if that's, you know, your play style and that's happening a lot for you, but I wouldn't notice myself. I don't think a big difference.
One thing I did think was a major change, is Cold Shoulder. This trait no longer reduces incoming damage from chilled foes. It now increases outgoing strike damage by 10% to chilled foes. So that's a 10% damage modifier. That's always a great thing to have.
Mm-hmm.
Have you seen anybody using it? Or?
Not so much. Again, most of the Necros I've seen have been playing
Shroud.
Scourge.
Yeah.
Yeah, so no.
Screw me,
but
I
maybe
guess.
But maybe this is to balance a little bit, you know, Reaper and Scourge and... try to make Reaper a little bit more viable with Scourge. Yeah. I don't know.
So moving on to Revenant, Precision Strike, increased damage done by this skill by 10% in PvE game modes. I love a 10% damage increase. Too bad it's just for Precision Strike. Unrelenting Assault, increased damage done by this skill by 10%. Oh, well, there's two things increased by 10%. And finally, I think Warrior. Yeah, there's some buffs for Warrior. Berserker's Power, increase the duration of enhancement stacks from 10 seconds to 15 seconds. Fixed enhancement stack amounts for some incorrect skill facts. Brave Stride, increased stability duration from 4 seconds to 8 seconds. That basically doubles stability there. Arcing Slice, rescaled fury gain from 5, 10, 15 to 8, 12, and 16 seconds. So a buff no matter how you look at it. I guess they're just trying to make it more attractive to occasionally use the various levels of Berserker, you know, tier 1, tier 2, and tier 3 instead of just always tier 3. So, yeah. Good changes. And then moving on to structure, player versus player, added new default builds for Pathfinder Elite specializations.
I'll say I haven't tried any of those yet. I haven't tried any of the new elites in PvP yet. But if I did, I might try one of these just so I know
what they're trying to get across.
Yeah.
And daily automated tournaments now have rewards for placing 9th through 16th. So that's like everyone who's in the tournament, isn't it?
I have no idea what the placing... Mm-hmm. I still need to try daily automated tournaments. I'm a little bit scared to. I really do need a little... I need a helping hand to bring me into those a little bit. So I'm not too sure.
Okay, so moving on to World versus World. New desert creatures have wandered into the desert borderlands. I have no idea what that means, but I presume it's some of the new...
I'm sure it just means, yeah, some of the creature models are now in the desert borderlands.
Just
like the Jaconian thing, probably.
Gerundu?
Gerundu, there you go.
The worms?
No, what are the like root things? Those
Jacaranda.
Jacaranda, yeah.
Those
stuff like that.
Who are evil, by the way.
So they're just like random mobs?
No, I don't know. Maybe there's Choya around. Maybe there's I bet sand eels. I bet there's sand eels. No, I haven't.
Oh. A new Crystal Desert reward track has been added. Yeah, I started working on that the day of, but I haven't worked on it since, obviously.
Presumably that's in structured player versus player too, is it? I haven't actually checked.
Probably.
I'm sure. Mm-hmm.
These testimonies of heroics has replaced where proof of heroics were required. This really annoys me. Like, we don't need a new set of heroics. Why can't we just use the old set of heroics? But all items that require proofs of heroics to purchase are still purchasable with proofs from vendors. Testimonies of heroics can be used to purchase all items that were purchased with proofs of heroics. Proofs of heroics can be purchased with testimonies of heroics from the heroics notary.
There's a lot of words there.
I know. It's like, why not just keep it proofs of heroics instead of changing them into
testimonies?
I can only assume there's some reason moving forward why they felt it necessary to change this.
No, it's because, we can't have people having all the currency they need to buy everything that they could right away. That would be wrong. Let's make them work for it.
Or is this a Vlast versus...
No, I think Hunter is right, because if you had saved up a bunch of proof of heroics and then you could use that to unlock hero points in Poff, that would be kind of...
I see what you're saying. Okay.
Instead, I mean, the drawback here is that we have this incredibly confusing, ridiculous nonsense where we have a completely new currency and the old currency doesn't work, except it does work, except it doesn't.
A little bit from column A, a little bit from column B.
Yeah, so a new notarized scroll of desert heroics has been added to the heroics notary vendor, and that will unlock hero points in the Alona region. World versus World Ascendant Armor now has Path of Fire stats that can be selected if you own Path of Fire, and new Path of Fire recipes have been added to the heroics notary vendor. And that is it for the skill changes.
But you know what it's not it for?
What?
Black Lion Trading Company gem store news.
Sure you're going to tell us all about it.
I think I am. There are 3 additional shared inventory slots that can be purchased from the upgrades category of the gem store for 700 gems each. And who doesn't love shared inventory slots? I know I do. Or you can purchase all 3 for 1,900 or 890 gems, or wait for a sale, which happens like once or twice a year. Each account can purchase up to 19 shared inventory slots at this time. This limit is not affected by the shared inventory slot provided with a level 80 boost with the purchase of Path of Fire or Heart of Thorns. So that brings us up to 21 shared inventory slots.
And how many do you have?
I don't know.
It's like 19 or something.
No, two? I don't have 19.
You have a lot.
I do have a lot, but I don't think I have 19.
I have two.
I have a lot more than hashtag. A new Alonian inventory packet or introductory package is now available in the utility category of the gem store for 1,800 gems. It includes a 20-slot Black Lion satchel, a 5 Black Lion chest or 5 Black Lion chest keys, 5 heroic boosters, a desert explorer kit, and a Black Lion sample pack. Did we ever figure out what a Black Lion sample pack was?
No.
I think we tried initially when this first came out to figure out what exactly that meant, and we couldn't figure out what Black Lion sample pack was. In any event, it's in the introductory package for Alonian peoples.
It's probably like Bank Access Express or
maybe
whatever.
I'm not sure. A new forged outfit is available in the style category of the gem store for 700 gems. And for a limited time, the scientific weapon collection has returned to the Black Lion weapon specialist for 5 Black Lion claim tickets. Black Lion chest keys are available for 125 gems each, or you can get them in bundles of 5 or 25 for increasing amounts. And for improvements to the Black
Lion... Can I just jump in and say that I don't think anyone should buy the Alonian introductory package because it sounds like a giant ripoff? Okay.
I just really need to know what that Black Lion sample pack is.
Whatever it is, there's no way it adds up to 1,800 gems because the other stuff...
That satchel's like pretty good.
A 20-slot bag?
Okay. You're right. You're right. Sorry. I recant.
Okay.
For improvement, 6 new exclusive hair colors, 6 new exclusive hair accessory dyes, and 2 additional human hairstyles, as well as several bald options from Guild Wars 2 Path of Fire, have been added and are available in total makeover kits and self-style hair kits found in the utility category of the gem store, as well as those new hairstyles are available with any new character you make. The hairstyles are not, but they're like the new human ones they added prior to the launch of Path of Fire. And so there's 2 with hair and 2 that are bald options, and they're all pretty great. I will say that one of the new ones that was added, I call it the Missandei from Game of Thrones. It is glorious, and I instantly changed Alona to it because it is so good. Have you guys looked at this at all? Is this just me? Crickets?
Go ahead.
Missandei looks good.
Thank you. The Living World Season 3 Complete Pack is now includes Episode 6 and is available for 960 gems in the upgrade category of the gem store. The Black Lion chest has been updated to the Alonian Seeker's chest and can be previewed for a full list of contents, and part of that is the mini green raptor hatchling has been added as the new guaranteed item. And this item is a little bit unique that you use the black or the Mystic Forge to unlock the entire family. And I remember I think it was that shaman posted that he managed to do the entire set, and he said this was insanity making to get to this point. So I'm not sure how many people will. The final one is a glass raptor, and it's pretty amazing. And there's like a fire raptor, green raptor, glass raptor. There's some pretty interesting ones in there, but it's a lot to get there. The new jackal pup backpack is available as an uncommon drop for the duration of the Alonian Seeker's chest. The new hydra staff is available as an uncommon drop as well. The new golden black lion chest key is available as a rare drop. It unlocks a black lion chest with a guaranteed uncommon or better item. The timekeeper weapon collection is part of this duration of the Alonian Seeker's chest as a rare drop. The packed fleet weapon collection is a super rare drop for this duration. The Black Lion exclusive chest has been removed, which was what it was previously, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
The guaranteed wardrobe unlocked available inside the Black Lion chest has been updated with around 175 new items. And you can now access waypoints in Tyria, in the Tyria Underground and Depths from the Mistlock Sanctuary. Did you notice that hashtag? You have that item.
I mean, that was a change that was made like a month ago. And they already announced it, so I'm kind of surprised to see it
here
again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Using the Mistlock Sanctuary passkey while in the Mistlock Sanctuary, you will now redirect you to your previous public PvE map. Is that the
only... Which is cool.
That is a very good
Is this the only change. Guaranteed or the only like location like this that will do that?
The redirect, yeah. And previous, you had to go up to the portal and interact and then choose to go back to where you came from. So this is a nice change because it's a lot quicker to just open up your inventory and double click.
Okay. And yesterday, there were some Black Lion Trading Company updates. The Travel Even Faster with the Central Tyria Waypoint Unlock Package by Evan Nashblade on October 3rd. I know your giant flopsy bunny is your best friend ever, but show a little decorum and dismount before coming into my facilities, will you? One of my traders is a useless bundle of nerves after coming face to face with a Springer for the first time. He thought he might be hallucinating, and he kept asking if anyone had seen a Norn-sized rabbit with a face that could stop a clock. So this is the waypoint unlock box. You know the drill. You're trying to reach East Nowhere to stop a rampaging whatever from eating fill-in-the-blank village. This is pretty great. But you're new in town. Good news! We'll instantly register you at all the waypoints in a region of your choice. Buy the waypoint unlock box to unlock one of the regions on our list, or buy the Central Tyria waypoint unlock package for all of them. And there's, you guys had thoughts about this. You had thoughts.
I didn't really have thoughts on the waypoint unlock box. I think it's fine. I think it's one of the things the gem store was made for, was making convenience items. And this is a huge convenience item. And I'm surprised it took them this long.
So we never actually put in here how much these cost, though.
It's like, what, 2,000 gems or something?
That's a lot.
Mm-hmm. It's 2,000 gems for the complete, and I think it's 600 gems for each region. Mm. So if you want to buy individual regions, and as I was exploring it today, you can only gift the regions. You can't gift this set. So, yeah.
That's it. How did they manage to lock it down that way, though? That's kind of interesting.
I don't know. I'm coming around to it, particularly since now that we have mounts, it's pretty quick to get around anyway. So it's really not a big deal. And I do see the value of it for things like my second account. It would be really nice to have this, so I could be able to waypoint. And
would it be something you would easier. Buy, though, for a second account?
Yeah.
It would be?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Because if I, for my second account, I don't necessarily want to spend a lot of playtime unlocking stuff. It's more I'm there. Well, I have a unique case, but I'm there to be where my students want to be and help them out and do things for them. So this just makes it more convenient for me to be able to do that.
You know, I read these descriptions, and Anatoly Ingram has gone to great lengths to write these really well, but sometimes I feel like he's ripping off my personality.
You're Evan Nashblade, is that what you're saying?
Yeah. I'm kind of Evan Nashbladey.
Nashbladey. Actually, I should point out also with the good news, we'll instantly register you at all waypoints. There is an asterisk, and we did not include that here, but I did read the asterisk on the actual site, and it is pretty hilarious, and I can't remember what it said.
It's definitely talking about closed waypoints and about how, there's times when you will not be able to use this due to invading Skrit and whatnot. I find it hilarious, Hunter, that you think that you and Evan share sensibilities when you have always refused to be the one to read Evan's comments.
You should read them.
When have I ever refused to read his comments? I don't think
most definitely.
There's also a branded wing backpack and glider combo, which hashtag now has, and she loves. Mm-hmm. Evan says, I've been told this is in poor taste, but I can never pass up a brand opportunity. These wings are so realistic that I don't recommend wearing a lot of purple with them, especially not in Blaze Ridge steps. People out there can be a little twitchy. And finally, Dragon's Watch Dye Pack. And while you're mixing up your color scheme, grab this combo for a chance at a variety of exclusive dyes. I've bundled together the Bloodstone, Solar, Lunar, Jormag, and Primordis, and Vibrant Dye Kits for one low price. So you'll get one of each of those for, I can't remember what the price was. We didn't actually include it here. But it's, if you like dye gambling, this is your opportunity to have a little taste of the.
So everyone has critiques about the games they play, but we like to keep things positive too. So in our Good Apples and Grumble Cake segment, we ask you to send in your thoughts on one positive thing and one negative thing. So we heard from a couple of you, and Artful sent in this Good Apple. My prolific shared inventory slots for instant repair canisters, because God stomping without pants isn't as cool.
Yeah. Great point, Artful. I'm not sure I would use my shared inventory slots for repair canisters, though.
If you do any writing, it would be handy.
I only have 4 slots. I don't know how he's got enough slots to take repair canisters around with him.
No one has time to go back and repair.
Now, Alona, she's probably got enough slots for repair canisters.
She probably has, like, a box of fun in one of hers.
I do not, but full disclosure, I did use my instant level 80 boost, I have not actually filled that empty slot with anything yet. So I have an empty spot in my shared inventory alone. Slots.
She's probably going to put keys in it or something.
I don't know. I might put keys in there.
So Artful's Grumble Cake is, he shouldn't have chosen his glass cannon thief to take point. He died so many times fighting, insert wicked boss name here, that his character was going to spout, Dormammu, I've come to bargain. I don't know that reference.
I do.
Doctor Strange.
It's a Doctor Strange.
Did I pronounce it right?
Dormammu, yeah.
Okay, good. He also had left some comments. He agrees with Hunter that this may be the best Guild Wars 2 expansion. Story-wise. He finished the story with almost 50% map completion and still needed 15 points to finish Deadeye. Maybe a little more prep was in order, but OMG, Daredevil is just plain fun when I'm not dead, and it's good to be back. Guild Wars 2. Hashtag
Guild Wars 2. Guild Wars 2.
Yes. Cake Oryx wrote in with this Good Apple. Since it's launch week of Pathifier, it's hard to narrow down just one good apple. The zones are beautiful, the story is the best it's ever been, and I've stumbled into loving the Firebrand despite my demo weekend naysaying. Grumble Cake. The only Grumble Cake I've had is choice overload with figuring out what I want to tackle first. After I finished the last chapter of the story, the zones are big and huge and super pretty, and I just want to get out there and uncover all of their secrets. I feel like that's a good apple, too. I mean, there's so much to do. It's good stuff.
I feel this one, actually.
Yeah. Yep.
Those seem like they're both good apples.
Yeah. And Doug M., he made it through with his ranger, Kylan Vassberg, this weekend. And he had to say, he talked about the Choya as his good apple. Nuff said. And the fact that the Griffin weren't spoiled before release, at least for him. So,
yeah,
that's pretty impressive.
Actually, I didn't get spoiled until Sunday for those.
Nice.
And it was Grumble. Key that did it.
Oh, Key. Grumble Cake, the eater of souls. Stop healing and die already. Doug, I feel your pain. And the fact that the Ranger's specialty mode is called the Brotastic Beast Mode. So.
That's pretty great.
Well, don't you feel like, remember when Dragon Hunter came out and everyone was really kind of poo-pooing that name? Do you feel like it's kind of grown into its own, or do you still feel like Dragon Hunter is?
I think it's a non-issue.
Mm-hmm. Then we have some comments from M is for Awesome, who could not leave us one Grumble Cake and Good Apple, but indeed left us 2. So the first Good Apple is the pace, in all caps, was exhausted by the hectic everything is trying to kill me hot pace. So I guess in comparison to hot, Poff has a good pace. Yep. And Grumble Cake, and she said she had to think long and hard. The mounts need two die channels.
Yep.
We agree with you, Key. Mm-hmm. And then another thing she said, good apple, Dead Eye is so awesome. And Grumble mm-hmm. Cake, those Doliaks need a new name. Seriously.
I think she was stretching for this one. Like, you can't send us a good apple without a Grumble Cake. So this was the, I'm just going to throw in something. It doesn't matter. Doesn't matter which.
I like the name of Doliaks, Key, so you're wrong. And moving on to default mail carrier, we also have some listener mail and tweets to read this week in our default mail carrier segment. Rondi wrote us to say, hi guys, new listener and relatively new Guild Wars 2 player here. I was going to do an accent there. Just like a California act. I don't know. I'm sleepy. But I'm just going to read it normal now. I first played a bit on a free account over a year ago. I didn't progress very far, and I quickly grew annoyed with the restrictions on the free-to-play account. A few months later, I found Heart of Thorns on clearance at Walmart for a mere $10, so I snatched it up and upgraded my account. Very shortly after that, Legion launched for World of Warcraft, and I went back to playing WoW, which I have been playing for 11 years. This past week has been the first time since the launch of Legion that I've returned to Guild Wars 2, and I'm enjoying it quite a bit, having purchased the Path of Fire expansion. That being said, this game is damn confusing when compared to a game like WoW. Combat actually requires skill, and I find myself getting my ass handed to me on a fairly regular basis. The self-healing abilities, at least to me as a new player, pretty much suck. I'm currently playing a Guardian, as I expected the class to have some decent survivability, but sweet Jesus, I was pretty much wrong about that. The community of Guild Wars 2 is so much more friendly than the WoW community, which turned horribly toxic around the launch of Cataclysm, but seemed to be much less vocal than the WoW community, and there's very little chatter that seemed to go on in Guild Wars 2. Okay, well, I disagree. I guess there's a lot of chatter around Guild Wars 2, right?
Is she talking about in-game chatter? I mean, some other... I don't know if WoW has, like, almost a constant stream of...
I mean, it depends on what zone you're in, happening. But there's a constant stream of chat in Guild Wars 2.
It can depend on the zone.
And it's not as fast as in some other games that I've experienced where there's just a lot more talk. Mm-hmm.
I think towns obviously have a lot more, I think, because specifically Lion's Arch or Divinity's Reach, there's a lot more chatter in those locations.
I don't know. I think the latest Living Story season episode, whatever zone that is, usually has a ton of chat. Any zone with a lot of activity in it will probably usually have a fair amount of chat.
Mm-hmm. I was actually a little surprised to hear the Guardian not having good survivability, because it really depends on how you build it, because the Guardians can have pretty great survivability, but you have to build it specifically into the
weapons that you're keeping with you, your utility mm-hmm. skills, but it can be really squishy too, because it's only got like 12. My Berserker Guardian only has like 12,000, 12.5,000.
Is it the lowest
health.
Of the heavy?
It's the lowest of the heavy, and it's really low. Especially when compared to something like WoW's trade chat. So I don't know how much chat is in WoW's trade chat, but yeah. So there doesn't seem to be a lot of help out there for new players without directly pestering other players. I think Guild Wars 2 is really helpful, to be honest.
And by all means, pester other players. Ask questions in map chat.
Someone will be there to answer right away, usually.
Yeah. You mentioned that the community doesn't seem to be as toxic. And, you know, unless you're like sitting there begging for gold, which is kind of rude, don't do that. But, you know, I was in a party with someone for one of the bounties in Crystal Oasis, Desert Highlands. I can't remember which map now. Crystal Oasis. And I left the squad to do something else, and the person I noticed asked, oh, would you be able to, because I was on a Mesmer, help them with the collection for Griffin mm-hmm. at the Maculate something something fringe, Maculate fringe. And I was like, sure, I'll come back and help with that. I had a goal that I was trying to work towards, but you know, whatever. Like, I could get up there fairly quickly, and I have a portal. Of course, I'll come back and help. You guys were kind of awesome trying to help me get this other thing. So don't worry about pestering people. Ask MapChat. It's totally fine.
Yeah, just don't PM me.
Yeah, don't PM Hunter.
Where are we? Yeah, I was curious if you three knew of any good resources online for a noob like me to bone up, and that would help me learn the game. Well, the wiki, for one, it's one of the best game wikis I've ever used. For Guild Wars 2. There's also Meta Battle. You got the best builds in the game at, what's the URL? Do you guys know exactly?
I don't know.
I always just Google Meta Battle. And GW2. Yeah. Actually, to your point about the wiki, even the wiki landing page, there is tons of quick links there right off the bat. And I actually was just looking at it recently. I'm thinking, there's a lot of really great stuff here. This is such a good resource. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, definitely go there.
So I'd also recommend the weekly Guild Wars 2 question thread on the Guild Wars 2 subreddit.
Also a great resource, the subreddit.
Yes, the subreddit is a good resource, and it can be overwhelming if you're new to Reddit particularly. But I remember when I first got back into game, I started reading through the weekly thread because I found a lot of people had similar questions to me, and that was helpful. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I find that the subreddit is pretty toxic, but very informative at the same time. So, Dolphy.
Like anything with comments.
Yeah.
Yeah. Dolphy has a ton of guides to pretty much everything in Guild Wars 2. She does a great job.
Mm-hmm.
What the crap is Unbound Magic? It's just a currency. It's just a currency in the Living Story Season 3 zones, which are, there's like 6 zones in Living Story Season 3, and they tell a story and they get released every 2 months. You'll figure it out. What are these damn laurels for? Okay, so laurels are just like another currency, and there's a laurel NPC in every major city, and you can see for yourself what they sell. I save them for the heavy crafting bags, the heavy crafting bags, not the other crafting bags, just the heavy ones.
Or if you were unable to play season one, you can get items that were rewards in season one through the Laurel Vendor. Not all of them, but a pretty sizable chunk.
There's a ton of stuff on the Laurel Vendor that has uses on occasion that I've spent laurels on tons of things from there. But they're very specific, usually, and for specific purposes. Mm-hmm. So, moving on from that. Why is Arenanet so greedy with their gems, charging like 9 or so bucks just to increase my crappy bank tab space? How do I make... Okay, we'll stop with that one. They aren't, because you can spend gold to buy gems. And right now, it's really cheap. It's like 89 gold for 400 gems. And... Mm-hmm. You can make, in the best case scenario, you can make like 20 gold an hour. So that's not too bad at all.
Yeah. And yeah, it's, I don't necessarily buy gems with gold because I am not good at wrapping my head around the exchange rate. But if you are the type of person who is good at that, just keep an eye on it and buy when they're cheap.
How do I make my guardian not suck? Meta battle.
Just
Google that. Why are there so many lesbian NPCs in this game? Did they have a 14-year-old boy on the writing team? I would say that it's the 21st century, so you're going to see stories like that moving forward.
And I think it's the exact opposite. You have people on the writing team who recognize the importance of diversity and inclusion, and I love it. I'm glad that they are doing that.
And just about any expansion for a game brings in at least a few new players, so I doubt that I'm the only one looking for some help. Probably not.
Yep. You are absolutely not the only one looking for help. Mm-hmm. And I think, really, just ask MapChat. Do not feel like you're pestering anyone, ever.
I'm enjoying the podcast, especially the dynamic between the two self-proclaimed fangirls and the aptly named Grumpy Pants. I want to point out that I wrote the intro originally.
You did write the intro.
I proclaimed them fangirls.
You are hoisted by your own petard, sir.
Seriously, you are pretty grumpy, dude. Well, you're no peach yourself there, Rodney. Who is your mother? Because there's probably a chance that you're actually my son. Okay.
Aww.
At the very least, you're a grump after my own heart. Keep making me proud, son.
Aww.
Okay. I apologize for the length, and I look forward to listening to your future episodes. Okay, well, thank you for the mail, Rondi.
That was very in-depth,
mm-hmm. yeah.
and it was awesome. Thank you so much.
Yeah. We also received a response regarding POF material storage from Johan Sten, or should I... Weren't we going to...
You're
like...
good.
Is that
we were, but
name?
We didn't.
I hope that's
the
what
world
real
will
name.
Never know.
About the non-deposability of some materials, while I agree that using flax as an argument really didn't help them make a case, we who actually received the message from Mainnet are really just collateral damage. The targets of this experiment... my throat is getting really dry.
Sorry. We're close. Tough it out.
The targets of this experiment is not the deliberate hoarders, but the large masses of players who accidentally hoard. The players mm-hmm. who aren't reading Reddit or the forums, who don't listen to podcasts, who aren't even in active guilds, who don't use outside resources like the wiki or GW2 efficiency. This category of players actually make up a very large portion of the player base, quite possibly the majority. These will get materials deposit and not really be even properly aware of them until they have a full stack. Given how many they are, they collective have a huge market impact. By not being able to deposit these materials, players who otherwise wouldn't have neither used or nor sold these materials are forced to notice and interact with them. So all who react with, well, I'm just going to hoard them on an alt or Anet want us to sell them, that means we'll need tons, so I'll hold on to them, aren't actually going against the experiment. You're engaging with the material actively instead of passively. Also, it probably wasn't your behavior Anet tried to influence. No, but it does have a big effect on my behavior now, and it's annoying. And I would say that the people... who aren't really aware of what's going on probably hold on to that stuff. I don't think they're forced to sell that stuff at all. There's like, they're not stupid. If they think there's no way to deposit it, they'll probably think it's special and they're probably going to hold on to it. So this solution solves nothing.
I wonder how many people in the situation that they're specifically talking about will just vendor them.
Vendor them, yeah, maybe.
No, like, genuinely. Like, I wonder how many, like, well, they're taking up space. I can't put them in my material storage. If they're not the type of player, because there are people who just don't interact with the trading post an awful lot. If they're just like, oh, well, I'll just vendor them. I wonder how much of that will happen. So, yeah.
Ultimately, I don't think this is going to have a huge effect on anything.
And honestly, it wasn't, well, hashtag you corrected me. I was going to say there weren't that many things in this category, but you were saying there were, I don't think collection items ever would be in the material storage, so.
No, those are different. I don't, yeah. Those don't really count into what this is speaking of. Yeah.
Yeah. So there's really just what, the two
yeah.
items?
Yeah, I think so.
So it's not too bad. Like I was worried it was like going to be tons when that message came out, but.
Yeah.
And that is it. That is the show, finally. Took us a little bit to get through that. Sorry, guys. So if you want to get in touch with us, you can contact hashtag on Twitter at #thetag with two A's in hash.
For some reason.
And SIGG.1735 in game. You can tweet Hunter at Hunter's Insight on Twitter. You can engage with me, Alona, at One Big Pear, as in the fruit, P-E-A-R, or in-game at onebigpear.1249. You can listen directly from our website at hostsofascalon.com, grab the RSS feed to use with your preferred podcast app, or subscribe on iTunes, Google Play, or Stitcher. And don't forget, we live stream the show at twitch.tv/hostsofascalon on Wednesdays at 9 p.m. Eastern. Our next live Twitch show will be recorded on October 18th, so put that in your calendars. And so, good show, everyone. We're good enough, smart enough, and gosh darn it, people like some of us.
Yeah, me. And that's about it.
Yeah, people love you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You're the best. Mm-hmm. You're the best, Hunter.
Yes. And Hunter, the only reason I have two A's in my name is because hashtag without an A was already taken.
Oh, I know. It's just such an odd choice to, like, your next solution is to add an A. I don't know.
Well, there's also hash the tag is one of the character names.
Mm-hmm.
With two A's?
Mm-hmm.
Well, like, I did a side. I was like, maybe.
I gotta be consistent at that point, right? Because I have hash. Yeah. I have hash the tag. I have hashtag. And I have tag the hash. So, you know.
And they're all two A's for some reason, even though you could have got hash the tag with one A.
You have a character.
Do you have a character named Hunter that is spelt different?
Mm. Huntar. Hunt.
It has foreign accents on the letter.
Umlaut. I think the term is legible. Umlaut. You have umlauts on the U.
Umlauts.
I mean, umlaut is a specific fancy accent, so.
Umlaut. It's fun to say. So I will say it.
And I was thinking of changing that because it's not very
easy to find, easy to type when you are trying to find you because you love it when you're attracted.